Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'll be your host this evening for a series of discussions about topics in poetry. I'm very pleased that you've joined me here on the campus and community radio station that is always here for you. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, we have three different poets who will be joining us on the show. They include Cambridge Jenkins IV, who we will reach via the live line. He's in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm about to give him a call so that you can find out who Cambridge Jenkins is. We will also today hear from Shannon Elizabeth Hardwick. She writes in New York and Texas, and I will also catch her on the telephone. We will hear poems from both Shannon and from Cambridge. And then, in the second half of the program, we will welcome back to this show none other than Francisco Alarcón. Francisco Alarcón is a poet, he's an essayist, he's a translator. He is one of the Davis area's most dynamic and accomplished poets, having written 20 books of poetry. He's won a number of important awards and has been on the short list for the position of Poet Laureate of the State of California. Tonight, Francisco Alarcón will be reading from his new book at Bistro 33's Poetry Night. That starts at 8 o'clock this very evening, the 5th of January, at 226 F Street, at the corner of 3rd and F Streets in the city of Davis. He will be the featured reader at Poetry Night, and afterwards will be an open mic. In the second half of the program, we'll be joined by Francisco Alarcón live in the studio so that you can get a sneak preview of that particular poetic event. That and so much more, including jazz bumper music, everything that you've come to expect when you tune in on a Wednesday afternoon to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. I'd like to remind you that this program is just one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on KDVS. Programs with topics such as, and titles such as, It's About You, This Week in Science, and Radio Parallax, will certainly entertain you and intrigue you with the topics that they take on, whether it's personal growth, the world of biotechnology, or space travel, as well as expected topics like, politics, atheism, local agriculture. All of these and many others come up in the public affairs programs that you can find out about if you send your web browser to kdvs.org. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, I'm first going to introduce you to Cambridge Jenkins IV. Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, Cambridge Jenkins sees himself as the permission slip for all indie artists who believe that their dreams are not tangible destinations. A writer for 7 years and a performance poet for the last four, Cambridge Jenkins has shared work at many local venues in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Venues such as the Apache Cafe, Java Monkey Speaks, and the National Black Arts Festival. He's the author of four collections of poetry, including Revenge of the Pink Pony in 2008 and Ain't No Grits in 2010. Cambridge Jenkins currently serves as the executive editor of The Corner, which is a daily success and personal development blog. Don't Shoot the Messenger is his forthcoming bi-monthly poetry magazine. If you'd like to find out more about my first guest, Cambridge Jenkins IV, you can visit revengeofthepinkpony.com. Cambridge Jenkins, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi.
Great to have you here. Thanks for joining me on the program.
So nice to be here.
From your bio, I got a little bit of a sense of how you participate in the Atlanta, Georgia poetry scene. And
yes,
I'm wondering how you might characterize it, how you see your role, what sort of poets you encounter, and if you feel that it's a vibrant poetry scene there in Atlanta, Georgia.
Easy question, a difficult question, the same thing. I don't really think I fit in much. It's myself and my work. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm always looking for, you know, just different types of artists here, looking for different types of styles. And that was, you know, one of the things that I set out to do when I started, getting on the stage. And you know, I haven't really, there are a few, you know, people here kind of, you know, blazing their own path and, you know, they got unique styles and everything. And, I would like to say that I'm one of them, but you know, for the most part, it's the city's still pretty, the poetry scene is still pretty saturated with, just folks who are trying to do it like everybody else. And that's just in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But you know, of the different styles that are here, they're generally from, you know, folks who haven't been born and raised here. You know, I know poets from, you know, just different places around the country. Atlanta's always been one of those cities where, you know, you visit here and it's hard to find these days. It's hard to find someone who's born and raised in Atlanta. So a lot of the work that I've come in contact with in performance styles and lyrical styles, you know, like I said, have been from folks out of state. And that's what's influenced my work, the most, not so much the people that I've heard, you know, at home or who are from here, but, you know, from those who are from environments other than, you know, other than the South, the Southeast.
I see what you're saying. Now, when you take the stage, do you go up there with a piece of paper in your hand? Do you generally memorize your poems? And how important do you feel that dramatic or theatrical elements are for the way that you present your poetry?
Well, you know, when I started, when I started taking the stage, I do take paper now. You know, I have no problem reading. I'm very serious about labeling myself and promoting myself as a writer and not just a spoken word artist. That's been a issue, you know, some groups or individuals have, you know, tried to box me into that one style, to that one discipline. And you know, when I first started doing stage performances, I believed that was who I had to be. That was, you know, that was what I had to do. I had to be, you have to be the slam poet, you know, on stage. You have to be, you know, the competitive poet. You have to be the entertainer. You have to memorize your work. So I kind of, you know, fell into this trap of, you know, doing what everybody else told me I should do or what I believed I should do. And, you know, over the years, you know, I just started gradually getting into my own thing. And,
right.
You know, again, I'm a writer, so I take my book, you know, up on stage, or I take my pages or what have you, and I don't have as much shame now, or any shame, really, you know, compared to who I was and what I was doing when I began.
Excellent. Well, if you don't mind, let's hear a sample of your work. I think people listening on this to this program, either in the Sacramento Valley or everywhere else in the world via the World Wide Web, would like to hear some of the poetry of Cambridge Jenkins IV. What's the first piece that you would like to read to us this afternoon?
The first piece I would like to read is called Traffic. Viral pollutants, clunkers, guzzlers, factory screw-ups, people with everything and people with nothing, all traveling the same road of disintegrating potholes, legally blind septuagenarians, and disagreeable left turn lights that go red and dead like a drunk struggling to get it back up for his Tuesday girl. They are all dog-tattling and jellied cranberry lust as they roll closer to their everything or their nothing. A community in blue. For once, the aged bourbon leathers of the living clasped with the ragged, smoky tweed of the scrapers by. For once, the various classes of American humanity humming or grumbling, kumbaya, the expletive-laden version, but kumbaya nonetheless. Brothers and sisters of the great escape, wallowing in the wild of their lurid destinations, the angry flying lotus. In poem.
All right, I like that. Very nice. I like the way that you put the words together and communicate some emotional truths there. We were talking a little bit about, and people are just joining us. This is Dr. Randy of Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and this is a live interview with Cambridge Jenkins IV. He's an Atlanta, Georgia-based poet. We were talking a little bit earlier, Cambridge, about the issue of influences, and especially the idea of who is an Atlanta poet, really, and where do people bring their influences from when they come from other cities. In terms of performers that you've seen on stage or whose poetry you've read, who do you see as influences or poets who mean a great deal to you as a writer?
You know, I've got two. One, the, you know, the spoken word artist, the slam poet, and one, the I guess, the, you know, the writer, the more literary poet. The performance poet who has the most impact on me right now and has had, you know, for 4 years since I started is the Queen Sheba. She's, I believe she's been doing her thing about 10 years now or more. just making huge strides for poetry here in the city. Spoken word. She's opened so many doors for different venues that didn't once have poetry to offer that that art form in their venue, and just different promoters. She challenges promoters to try something new. Something other than, just the regular club scene here. She challenges other artists here because I think she's the best thing in the city. She's the best thing going for us right now as far as performance poetry goes. She's an outstanding writer as well, but, performance is her focus. On the literary side, I may, sound a little biased when I say this, but Tanzania Pinchback is definitely my biggest influence on the poetry side. She's an outstanding writer. She's a beautiful person. She really cares about the art form. I look up to her mostly because, she is a writer wholeheartedly. She studies writing. Her profession is writing, and that's something that I aspire to do. I aspire to be write for the rest of my life, be it, just poetry or, essay, fiction, what have you. And being the fact that I have not yet finished college, I don't have any type of degree in, anything, especially writing, I still kind of see myself. She gives me a lot of great feedback on my work, but I still feel like she's on a whole nother level. I feel like she's so much more qualified to be a professional writer. And again, that's something that I want to be. So I look up to her a lot, just for advice and, on my work and, in reading my work and presenting my work and everything. And, she's just a great person to be around. I meet some people here and they're really up on themselves so much, you ask them for advice or feedback, and they don't give you the time of day. So I really respect her, for being a great friend and just, taking the time out to help me hone my craft.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we had, as regular listeners know, we had Tanzania Pinchback on this radio show 3 weeks ago. And I know definitely of what you speak. Very well spoken, very well read, excellent poetry, and really a kind and open manner on the telephone. A pleasure to talk to, and she also has some fans here in the Sacramento area, as I heard. Yes. on Facebook as soon as I announced that she'd be coming on the radio show.
She does.
Excellent. Well, Cambridge Jenkins IV, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Could you tell us again the name of that website, which is the title of one of your books, so people could find out more about you?
It's www.revengeofthepinkpony.com, and you can also find me on Facebook under the name Cambridge Jenkins IV.
Cambridge Jenkins IV. Excellent. Well, Cambridge, it's been a pleasure to welcome you to the program. Thanks for taking the time, and I wish you continued success with poetic career. Absolutely. Take care now.
You as well.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Back, everyone, to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Quick reminder, tonight is Poetry Night. Twice a month here in the city of Davis. You're either at Bistro 33 on the first Wednesday of the month or the John Itzulis Gallery on the third Thursday of the month. There is a poetry reading. It's the Poetry Night reading series. Tonight featuring Francisco Alarcón. Francisco Alarcón is a faculty member in the Spanish department here at UC Davis. He is a dynamic poet who has written 20 books of poetry, many of them award-winning, and people leave his readings with a big smile on their faces. Smiles on all of their faces, I should say, as well as having been given a lot to think about. People always enjoy his readings, and you'll have a chance to tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33. That's at 226 F Street here in the city of Davis. Admission, of course, is free. My next guest on this radio show is Shannon Elizabeth Hardwick. Shannon Hardwick graduated with her master's degree in fine arts from Sarah Lawrence College in 2010. She recently completed her first full-length manuscript of essays and poetry, and she also has a chapbook in print called NanoQuest. She writes in New York and in Texas, and tonight we have her on the live line. Shannon Hardwick, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So you earned your MFA at Sarah Lawrence College. Tell the listeners a little bit about your sense of that program, the tone of the program, and who some of your most important mentors were at Sarah Lawrence.
Well, Sarah Lawrence for me was one of the best decisions I ever made. I felt like it was a really small community and but really dynamic. I was part of, obviously, the poetry program. There's three programs. There's the fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. But because it's small, we all got to interact with each other and share each other's work. And so that was a really big advantage. My most important, well, all of my professors were wonderful, but my advisor was Suzanne Gardiner, and she was amazing. She was my thesis advisor. And Marie Howe was very important to me. She was a great mentor. I mean, I could just name everybody there. It's a wonderful, wonderful program, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Some of my California listeners may not know Sarah Lawrence, so can you tell us a little bit more about the college in general, including geography and size?
Sure. It's located in Bronxville, New York, which is about 25 minutes north of Manhattan in New York City. And it's a great location because you're not, you know, you're not in the city. You're outside, quiet environment, great place to write. But you have access to all of the wonderful poetry readings and everything in the literary community that's going on in New York City. And the size, my class, I think, was about 30 poets. And it's anywhere between 30 to 45 per class. And then, of course, it's a two-year program, so I would say, you know, there's like 80 maybe together at one time of each class. So it's pretty small. You have really small classes. I think on average there's about 16 people within like a workshop class. Another really neat thing about Sarah Lawrence is they require you to have an elective as well.
Right.
Two electives. So, for example, I took philosophy, an undergraduate philosophy class, which was amazing. And the undergraduates there are so talented and so smart. And, in fact, I almost found that the undergraduate course I took was even more challenging than my workshop classes, because it required a lot more work, obviously, than workshop. But it was a great experience, and it's a neat place.
That's wonderful. Now, during the time that you were writing and learning 25 minutes out of New York City, you no doubt went into the city once in a while to see a literary star or two. Were there any poetry readings during the time that you lived in New York that stand out for you as being particularly memorable or important?
Well, I went to see... my most memorable experience was going to the American Poetry Society Forum held at NYU. I think they hold it there once a year in October. And that was just amazing because it had, you know, I saw Carl Phillips, Marie Howe, I'm kind of being on the spot who all was there.
Robert Pinsky often attends those things.
And Robert Pinsky, exactly. Eric Snyder.
That's great. I was going to say Gary Snyder has been on this show. He's a UC Davis emeritus faculty member here where this show originates. Was Frank Bidart there?
Amazing. Yes, Frank Bidart was there. In fact, Frank Bidart participated in the Sarah Lawrence Poetry Festival. And that's another thing I forgot to mention, is that every year at Sarah Lawrence we have a poetry festival run completely by graduate students. I was actually on the committee my second year, or both years, but I was higher up in the committee my second year. And we bring in so many wonderful poets. It's the largest free poetry festival in New York State, and that happens every spring. So we had Matthew Dickman, both the Dickman brothers, Dorian Lux. Anyone you can imagine we probably have had over the past couple of years. So that's another amazing thing and a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Yeah, that sounds great. I did my undergraduate years at Boston University, and the opportunity to interact with great poets and also great scholars, including going to their homes and joining them for meals and that sort of thing, that was really one of the most memorable and important parts of my undergraduate education, is all the things I was learning about poetry after my classes ended, and I got to go to so many great readings and meet so many important and very generous poets.
Right, yeah. I mean, at Sarah Lawrence, you know, we would have our professors would usually at least once a semester invite us over to their apartments in New York City and, we would have dinner together, and they would even maybe invite other their other writer friends. And so it's really a sense of, you know, you're a student, but at the same time, you feel like you're really a part of the community as an equal. And it was just an amazing experience.
That's wonderful. Well, if you're just joining us at home, my guest this afternoon is Shannon Elizabeth Hardwick. She recently graduated, as we've been talking about, with her master's in fine arts from Sarah Lawrence College. And she has a chapbook in print, and she's also working on a full-length manuscript of poems and essays. Well, Shannon, I think people at home would love to hear an example of the work that we've been talking around. What's the title of the poem that you've chosen to share with us this afternoon?
It's an ongoing series of actually little prose poems, and it's called, the title, working title right now is called Francine Believes Her Legs Are Flutes.
All right, great. Let's hear it.
So, Francine steps away from things altogether. His body lets in light, she writes, and I am larger than small matters. Francine laughs into her man's blazer. I arrange his pants, she writes, his paradise lost, his socks, his outline on the mattress. Sometimes I see things burn so brightly. Francine remembers how they breakfast together, pouring out of diners. Francine sleeps on chicken bones when alone, steps away from things altogether. I am larger than his body, she writes. I will drink his honey water. Francine knows the difference between wheat and the lasting. The back garden's overgrown, she writes, never a shadow in the hedge. Francine learns she still loves him in many different tongues. Francine plants rows of figs to let in light, she writes, though mercy I cannot capture, never a shadow in the hedge. Francine listens to stars when he comes, dragging a captured bed. Francine knows the difference between difficulties and regret. Francine stones honey when she's alone, since calls St. Gabriel. My arms were called a gate, she writes, but no one stepped through. Someday the way to mercy will be by the sea. I learned to tongue regret by being everything. No one stepped through. Francine believes her heart will drink his honey water. Figs, the burning of swallowed stone. His body alight for the dead on her mattress. I love everything attached to my hair, she writes. So my heart stuck in his branches.
That's very nice. Tell us again the title of that poem, Shannon.
Francine believes her legs are flutes.
Wonderful. It's interesting the way that the word Francine functions almost as a refrain for the poem, and offers an interesting form of mediation between author, speaker, and then this third party. Interesting, too, because almost every line of the poem is an offbeat insight of some sort. And so it makes you very curious about Francine and curious to know what it would be like to sit down and, you know, have tea with her.
I know. I would be curious to sit down with Francine, too. That's why I write the poems.
So,
she came...
Mm-hmm, go ahead. The genesis of Francine.
I was just going to say, it came to my head. I was reading, actually, a book on Catholic saints and different mystical women. And a line in there was, I don't remember the exact line, but Francine doesn't believe in the something of everything or something. It was just one line. And it went on to describe this character. And so from there, I just loved the way it was written. And so I just started this series of poems about Francine.
That's wonderful.
Modern day Francine.
Right, right.
Thanks.
And the delightful thing about that, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of what T.S. Eliot did with Catholic saints and other saints and some of his, the poems that he wrote around the time of Prufrock that he chose not to publish. He was very much interested in what what was it about the saints? What exactly did they see, especially as they approached death and this idea of having a closer relationship of with God as a result of some sort of violence or cruelty or discrimination or persecution or whatever the case may be. And although he chose not to publish many of those poems, a lot of those same feelings showed up in those early poems. And we see that with some of the violent imagery, even of the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And so it's interesting to hear what you're grabbing from. It seems very fresh because it's not something that most of us would have encountered. And therefore, people aren't going to say, oh, of course, Francine, you saw that coming.
Yeah.
But instead, <Right. laughs> instead, because the material that might have inspired these series of poems, you know, depending on how much you share with others, it's kind of your own little secret, but it still remains kind of vibrant and original at the same time. So really well done. I really enjoyed hearing that poem.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
So what is your next step? You finished your MFA program. Do you have a certain amount of elation that's pushing you forward with great plans for productivity? Are you recovering and editing poems that you had written while you were in the program? What are the next sort of steps that are coming up for you in 2011?
Well, I mean, I think the best thing that Sarah Lawrence gave me was the work, learning how to write with a finished product in mind or a book in mind. And ever, you know, because you're constantly thinking about order of poems or your thesis, and even though professors would say, well, don't worry about that, just write. Don't worry about the order or what you're writing. So after I graduated, all these different ideas just kept coming to me of different books. And so I'm struggling with that in a way. It's almost gone overboard where I have five different books in mind that I continually am working on. When I write, it's usually in, like, a series. Like, for example, the Francine series, I've written, I think, seven different prose Francine poems. And then on top of that, I have this, like, Rilke series. So that's driving me forward, learning how to think with a book in mind. And then I plan on getting my PhD in creative writing, and I want to go abroad. I want to study in the UK. So I'm just working, trying to make money so I can make that happen. And meanwhile, submitting. I've been just submitting a ton and trying to keep disciplined on that and keeping my community together, you know, trying to reach out and keep in contact with my fellow students after graduation and just trying to keep the community going.
It makes you thankful for Facebook, doesn't it, that all those people are right there. You can just reach out to them.
Facebook, I tell you, the internet is probably it's the best thing for a writer or any artist, because I've had so many friends that have graduated, have moved across the country, but I still feel like, you know, we can email each other or you know, I know what's going on with them, and, you know, we can encourage each other and even send each other's poems, and it's great. Yeah, Facebook and the internet in general, it's just wonderful to keep that literary virtual community alive.
If we can handle the distractions, then we could probably get a lot of work done.
I know. That's the problem. You know, you sit down to write a poem and you end up spending, you know, an hour on Facebook.
Right, right. Well, Shannon, it's been a delight to speak with you, and I hope that you'll contact me again when your next book of poetry comes out and we can hear another sample of your work.
I would love to, and thank you so much. And speaking of Facebook, that's how I got in contact with you. So
I'm glad it worked out.
Thank you so much.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for some jazz, some public service announcements, and then more poetry.
Les habla Ricardo Montalbán. Hay muchas maneras de medir el éxito. Para los Shriners son los casi 700,000 niños con problemas ortopédicos o quemaduras que ellos han ayudado tratándolos por toda América del Norte con los últimos adelantos médicos por más de 80 años y completamente gratis. Hay un hospital Shriners que trata a los niños de esta zona. Si conoce a un niño que los Shriners podrían ayudar, llame al 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, dispensando ayuda y esperanza a los niños desde hace más de 80 años.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. As we mentioned earlier, this evening is Poetry Night here in the city of Davis, and Francisco Alarcón will be the featured reader at Bistro 33 tonight at 8 o'clock. That's at 226 F Street. If you'd like more information about this event, you can visit poetryindavis.com, or you can just stick around because Francisco is here in the studios of KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Francisco Alarcón is a binational, bicultural, and bilingual poet and educator. He's an award-winning author of 10 volumes of poetry for both children and adults, and is recipient of the 1993 American Book Award, the 93 Penn Oakland Josephine Miles Award, and the 1984 Chicano Literary Prize. He has many other prizes under his belt, but most people locally know him as one of the most dynamic and engaging readers of poetry. His new book, from Davis's own Swan Scythe Press, is called Se Uno One, and Poems for the New Sun. As I mentioned before, Francisco Alarcón teaches for the Department of Spanish here at the University of California, Davis, and I'm very pleased that I'll also have a chance to introduce him tonight at Bistro 33. Francisco, welcome back to KDVS and Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Well, I'm very happy to be here again.
Great to have you here. So it must be always gratifying for you. I know that you read around California. You have an event coming up in Washington, D.C. Next month, which we'll be sure to mention. You've read in the Southwest as well. It must be gratifying to offer your hometown fans a reading and let people from the local area come see what you've been working on.
That's right. You know, and I think I'm very happy that I'm starting the year with this reading. And we have a new book. I just came back from spending a week in El Salvador. Mm. There was a festival that we organized, the first children's poetry festival, and it was very successful.
Wonderful.
At the National Library in El Salvador. This was at the end of November. And so I'm very happy that I'm here in Davis, and yes, you know, I'm very engaged in different projects. And one project that I'm very happy that I'm engaged in is Poets Responding to SB 1070.
Yes.
And we have now close to 5,000 members, and we have 800 poems submitted. And I'm now doing an anthology that the University of Arizona Press is considering, and I think that will be, I think, a major contribution.
Absolutely. I know because we were talking about Facebook earlier with another guest, because we're Facebook friends, I get to see your postings. And much of what you do on Facebook, too, is share poems, share announcements, share as part of the community of people who are very concerned about this issue, and also responding with art and poetry and literary output.
Yeah, to me, it's been a very interesting part of what I've done in the last year. And I see this as part of an extension of my own soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I once had a reading with Sharon Dubiago en La Peña, and I just started Facebook, and I said, well, this is going to change, I think, the way poets deal with each other, and that has changed, I think. You know, we have every day dozens of poems submitted, and thousands of people every week see the poems, they write comments, and I think it's like an open book, really.
Yeah.
And people can read the poems, and the authors can respond immediately to the comments. So it's been very interesting, and I think it's a new way of dealing with poetry, and I'm very excited about it.
Excellent. Certainly broadens the community in ways that are gratifying, not only for the poet, but all the people who get to reach out and interact with the poet in ways that would be very difficult.
Precisely. I think it's forming a community, I think, mm-hmm. And this is something that I thought was going to be difficult, but not. This is really coming together, and now we're in the process of basically restructuring the moderators. We have now about 13 poets that act as moderators, but I think we are now we're trying to have a core of poets that are committed to basically do the work, and I think we're doing this. It's very painful because we have to let go of some wonderful poets that basically have no time to do this, mm-hmm. and so because of their careers, because of their lives, and so we are now have a core of people that will basically be doing the work.
Wonderful. Good for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about your new book. It's called Say Uno One. And this comes from Swanscythe Press, which is an important local press, founded, of course, by Sandra McPherson, professor emerita here at University of California at Davis. Tell me about your vision for this book and why it was important for you to publish it locally.
Well, I think, you know, this is actually comes from an experience that I had a few years ago. Now we are in the process of coming together for the year 2012. Mm-hmm. And I basically founded a group in Sacramento called Poets of the New Sun. This is about 13 years ago.
Yeah.
The idea was to start thinking about the year 2012. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the universe. It's the beginning of a new era. And so this is what it is. And my friend, the poet James DeBoer, basically is editor now of the press.
Right.
And he came with this idea of doing a series of poems, actually books, chapbooks, that we called Poetas Puentes, Poets Bridges. And the idea is to publish poets that write in Spanish and also Mesoamerican languages, like Nahuatl and all the Mayan languages, and do bilingual editions. So this is the first of this series of poetry chapbooks, and I'm very happy that the book is in Spanish, English, also includes Nahuatl, also includes Mapuche, the language of the native people of southern Argentina and Chile, and also a poem in Gaelic, in Irish.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Good for you. Francisco Alarcón, as I'm sure you know by now, is my guest here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking about his new book, Say Uno One, and he will also be reading from his work tonight at Bistro 33. That's at 8 o'clock at 226 F Streets. And Francisco, let's hear a sample from your new book.
Well, let me start with the first poem.
Please.
You know, the idea is of one. I really believe in the oneness of life. And this is a poem that is a calling for that oneness of life. I'll read it first in Spanish and then in English. It says, Uno. Oh, he estado perdido entre tanto ruido, tanto tiempo, sintiéndome un errante vagundo, un extraño a mí mismo donde quiera, que quiero reencontrarme yo mismo en valles, entre gente y el mar, muy adentro y a la vez con todo alrededor. Ahora soy por fin uno. Yo soy, tú eres, nosotros somos. Él es, ella es, ellos son. No solo alguien más, todo solo. No solo yo, no solo tú, no solo nosotros, no solo él, no solo ella, no solo ellos, pero todos los pueblos, todos juntos, todo el tiempo, siempre como uno, one. Oh, I've been so lost, and there's so much noise, for such a long time, feeling myself a road drifter, a stranger to myself everywhere. That I want to find myself again in valleys, among people and the sea, deep inside and at once with all around. I am now one, finally. I am, you are, we are, he is, she is, they are. Not just someone all alone, not just me, not just you, not just us. Not just him, not just her, not just them, but all of us, all the peoples, all together, all the time, forever, as one.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that's the first poem in the new book called Se Uno One is the title of the book by Francisco X. Alarcón. My guest today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. He'll be reading tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33, 226 F Street here in the city of Davis. Do you have another sample for us?
Yes, I'll read another one because I really the idea of one is very important in this collection. Mm-hmm. And that goes to the Mesoamerican concept that humans are not separated from nature, basically. And this is called Unison. It says, everything that has been and will be is here and now. The four directions are four body limbs. Our house, the universe. Inside our chest, the sun. No separation between spirit and body. You and I. Paper. For you, I am a sheet of paper. You can write all over me. Erase, scratch any line. Rip me, toss me to the floor. Burn me in your hands as an offering to spell out your dreams up in the air.
Wonderful. So when you perform, you bring such a vibrant energy to your performances that people seek out your events as well as your books. How is it as a poet that you can try to communicate some of that energy, that engagement, that connection to people when you don't have your own tremendous voice to back it up when it's on the page?
Well, you know, I come from the oral tradition. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is part of the Chicano Latino tradition that I think we perform poetry. You know, this is a way of, you know, declamar poetry. And I remember that I attended a conference and we had a meeting with Mexican poets, and we had a tremendous misunderstandings because they come from the upper middle class. Mm-hmm. And so they see this tradition as vulgar, basically something that, you know, they want to move away. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they read poetry really like a page, very low-key, no performance whatsoever. And so they actually, we had a disagreement that they said poetry is on the page, and I said, no, poetry is on the flesh. Poetry is the sound. Poetry is mouth. Poetry is faces. Poetry is the body. And so that to me is very important. And so I think the poems, if you see my poetry, I'm now writing poetry that are basically on columns.
Right.
And so they're somehow they're forming a body on the page. Mm-hmm. And so their poems, I will read just one fragment of a poem. It's a longer poem. It's called This. And this poem you can read on the columns, like, you know, vertical, or you can read horizontally, or you can read whatever you want to do.
Really?
So the idea is to the poem becomes basically just like a column to enter a temple. And so you can enter the temple by doing the reading at your own way. And so a fragment of the poem says, this is dedicated to the poets responding to SB 1070. And this is the last part of the poem. It says, this poem has the same dreams as you, the same nightmares, goals, and fears, trembling before the news of his own demise. This poem is everything but faceless. It's a bright teenager, trapped in the dark, soulless, dreamless, no man's land that a dream act could just banish. This poem cries from the back of the bus. Children tears wipe out the lines of this poem. This poem is a mother, a father, a neighbor, a human being born on flesh, walking around, buying groceries, disposable diapers. This poem is beyond any poetry anthology. We have a heart, a soul, a familia, just like you. This poem is a written poem of this land. And so this is what I'm working on right now, really. I'm trying to form poetry that has basically has bones and fleshes.
Excellent. Well, I'm so intrigued and excited, and I'm glad that I'll get to hear more in just 2 hours over at Bistro 33, as will all of you. I'd also like to remind you, and especially my Washington, D.C. listeners, that there is an event coming up in Washington, D.C., which is a multicultural reading in response to SB 1070. And this is at the True Reformer Building, 1200 U Street, in Northwest D.C. on Friday, February 4th, 2011. That's from 6 until 9 p.m. A great number of poets with names that you've heard of, including Marilyn Nelson and Sonia Sanchez, who I see right here, as well as many others, will be, and Lona D. Cervantes, will be reading at this event on February 4th. And 12th and U Street, I must say, especially in the last 20 years, has become one of the hippest neighborhoods of Washington, D.C. So if you happen to be there, you will have multiple reasons to attend this multicultural reading in response to SB 1070 on Friday, February 4th, 2011. Francisco, if people wanted to find out more about this event, what would be a good way for
them? They can basically go to the Facebook page, mm-hmm. Poets Responding to SB 1070. There's also a page for this event. And this is part of the AWP conference that's taking place in New York and Washington, D.C. We're also doing a panel the next day in the morning at 9 o'clock. And this will be at the Conference Hotel, the Marriott Hotel in Washington, D.C. And this is it's called Poetry of Resistance. And I'm just came out with the idea of doing a press conference poetry reading on the steps of the Capitol. So that would be on the same day, maybe at noon, on that Saturday, February the 5th. And we're probably going to have some congressmen like Luis Gutierrez and Javier Becerra. And the idea is the poets coming together. Yeah. I see no separation between poetics and politics. And so this is part of the tradition, and so we're going to do that.
Excellent. Well, if you'd like to hear more of Francisco Alarcón, certainly you could purchase one of his books and you could give it a try yourself, or you could come tonight to Bistro 33 where he'll be reading at 8 o'clock. I'd like to thank you again, Francisco, for coming on the program.
Thank you very much, Andy.
I'd also like to thank the two guests who joined me in the first part of this hour, and they include Shannon Elizabeth Hardwick, who joined us at about 20 after, and before that we heard from Cambridge Jenkins IV. My name is Dr. Andy. I'm here every Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 6 offering you Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Next week, we will hear from some of the folks who have been behind the creation of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. They're doing a production of Twelfth Night that opens in just over a week. If you'd like to find out more about Poetry and Davis, go to poetryanddavis.com. I'll see you perhaps tonight at Bistro 33 and every Wednesday here on KDBS. For Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for great music.